It's happening again. Cornell, Princeton, Middlebury College, part of a growing number of universities moving finals online and sending students home after COVID outbreaks on campus. We are heading into a holiday break, and it's unclear what will happen in the new year, especially with the new extremely transmissible Omicron variant taking hold. We know something now, though, that we didn't the first time colleges went remote, that the mental health trade-offs are there. The mental health trade-offs that come with keeping students' bodies safe from COVID. And that is compounded by shortages of services, workers, and healthcare coverage across the field of mental health. So, should colleges and universities think about the trade-off between COVID health and mental health differently this time around? Let's talk about it. And if you are a college student or you're the parent of a college student, we'd like to hear from you. What do you want to see your college campus do? How hard is the prospect of remote school again? And do you have access to the supports you need? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK or tweet us. We're at Radio Boston. We will go to the phone soon, but first, we want to get a student perspective here. Fareen Khan is a senior and the outgoing speaker of the Student Senate at UMass Boston. Fareen, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Fareen, I know that you're graduating in just a few weeks. You're a senior. Congratulations for that. I want to ask you, are you worried right now? Are you worried for your classmates about what you're seeing with some local universities and this rise of Omicron?
Well, absolutely. I think that the worry stems from the fact that we're, again, I almost feel deja vu because it feels like March 2020 again. We're surrounded by uncertainty, by burnout, by just like not really knowing what's going to happen with our classes, with our universities. And like, I'm lucky in the sense that that worry like doesn't really exist for me because I'm graduating. But if I were like in those shoes, I absolutely like, the uncertainty surrounding colleges right now, and then like we're going to go back online, if we're going to stay in person, it's just, I guess here on this round we're more prepared because we know what to expect if we do go online, but it's just that uncertainty, not knowing what's going to happen. And
Fareen, talk about that wear. How does it sit on you, that wear and tear of just not knowing what might happen?
It's very heavy. It's very heavy. And I don't think people truly understand it unless they're a student themselves, because we're in a world that is still dealing with the pandemic. And a lot of us have changed because of that. We've changed as students. We've changed as people. There's the pressure upon us because it's just we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what to expect. And on top of that, we have finals, we have classes, we have assignments, we have all of these issues that are compounding on us, but it's like 10 times the normal college experience. You know, like college is already very stressful, and then add on to it a global pandemic with so much uncertainty, with not knowing what's going to happen, with not knowing what's going to happen with our classes, our friendships, stuff like that. Like, we don't really know where we're going to stand.
Fareen, how are you doing and how have you been doing?
Honestly, I have not been doing very well. I'm going to be very honest because I think it's very important for us to acknowledge the pandemic and the impact it has had on students themselves. I have changed a lot during the pandemic. My mental health has gotten really, really bad because the pandemic has exacerbated our mental health, you know. And when we came back in person, we weren't really given the chance to recalibrate, or we weren't really given the chance to adjust to from being inside for a year and a half and then suddenly acting like everything is normal and back again. And it was very, very hard to adjust to that. And, you know, it had a toll on our mental health. And I'm graduating, and I'm very lucky I'm graduating because I'm not entirely sure if I could handle another semester of like uncertainty and not knowing where I stand.
I'm sorry. It's been a struggle. And I'm sorry to interrupt you there. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. But a lot of what I have felt and a lot of what my fellow peers have said is that we haven't really recovered from COVID-19 and we haven't recovered from feeling not like ourselves. It's almost like a brain fog. We have burnout. We have just a pandemic-induced reality that we still are suffering with. And to add to that another layer of uncertainty and confusion, it's just a lot of wear and tear, and it's just a lot of toll on our mental health.
Do you have the supports that you need from your university community?
So I will, one thing I will commend my university for, University of Massachusetts Boston, is that when we did transition online in March 2020, the university put a very comprehensive list of frequently asked questions that were constantly updated because there was a lot of unanswered questions. And so they did that, and that helped to assuage any like fears that we had. But of course, like, not anyone can like predict what's going to happen and stuff like that. So I do want to appreciate, I do appreciate that the university did that. And I also want to make note of the UHS like counseling center that have offered services. And I've heard that they're very good. But I will note that I do feel like they're very overwhelmed and understaffed, because when I did try to make an appointment, they said they were available mid-January. Of course, I'm graduating like in 2 weeks, so I wouldn't be able to take that appointment. So I, you know, I will note that I feel like it's not just my university, but a lot of universities have had an influx of students trying to get services, but it's just overwhelming the entire mental health services, and I think that they're understaffed.
So I appreciate you telling us your story. Before we let you go, what's next for you? Is there something you're looking forward to or excited about in the coming weeks?
Yeah, so I am looking forward to starting my master's in January. That's always, my master's is going to be completely online. The graduate program has moved completely online because of COVID. So I am kind of worried, though, because an online education takes away a lot of the in-person interactions and joys, and like the social element and the friendship element, it becomes very different. So I am worried that my brain fog will continue, you know, confusion, memory loss, and my inability to concentrate. I'm worried that's going to continue, but I am looking forward to starting that. And, you know, I will be going from online to in-person this semester and then online again. So I already am facing online school, but I'm kind of more optimistic about it because I know what to expect. And, you know, it's going to be a new chapter for me. So I'm looking forward to that.
That is Fareen Khan. She's a graduating senior and the outgoing speaker of the Student Senate at UMass Boston. Good luck on that new chapter, Fareen. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, just a note, if you feel like you need help, you can reach these resources. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-TALK. That's 273-8255. And the Samaritan Statewide Hotline is 1-877-870-HOPE. That's 877-870-4673, and you can call or text that number. I do want to bring in a couple of other guests, but I'm going to grab a call real quick. 1-800-423-8255. Suzanne's calling from Sharpsburg, Georgia. Suzanne, hello.
Hi.
Hi, go
hello,
ahead.
How are you? Hi, how are you?
Well, thanks, Suzanne. Go ahead. Tell us your story.
Okay, so my son is a junior now at San Francisco State University in the film program, and COVID hit in his second semester of his freshman year. So the entirety of his college experience, for the most part, has been online learning. And I saw my son go from being enthusiastic and willing to learn and excited about learning with in-person classes to the online class where he felt isolated and alone. Because learning as a young adult is a collaborative experience. They get so much out of being in person. And he begged me to take a gap year, and I encouraged him to keep going. And now that they're back in-person learning, his grades have not only improved, but his mental health has improved as well, too. So as a parent, you know, seeing both sides of these things, I feel for the university, and I feel for the teachers, but I also feel for the students.
Suzanne, thanks. I appreciate that call, and I wish your son well. So joining us now, two people from the mental health field and focusing on colleges, Dr. Carrie Landa, Director of Behavioral Medicine and the Associate Director of Student Health Services at Boston University. She's stepping out of those roles and into a new role as the school's first executive director of student well-being. She also serves on the college's university COVID task force. Dr. Landa, welcome.
Thank you.
And Dr. Caitlin Nevins, the director of psychological services in the college mental health program at McLean Hospital. Dr. Nevins, welcome to you too.
Thank you for having me.
So, Dr. Landa, I'm just going to ask you for your reactions either to Fareen's story there or what we just heard from our caller, Suzanne.
Yeah, but you know, both of their stories are really familiar, and it's what we've been hearing throughout the pandemic, really since a month or so after we went into lockdown, when we all realized the long haul that we were in for. The anticipatory anxiety and that kind of not knowing that Fareen was alluding to about what the next semester is going to bring is something very real for all of our students. It's real for all of us as humans or who are navigating this as well. But that unknown about what is going to happen and what trajectory COVID is going to continue to take, it's really hard. It's a hard space to be sitting in, especially when it has impacts on learning and socialization and the ways in which many of these college students had thought that their college years were going to go.
You know, I do want to note, especially since we're talking about BU campus life in part here, that Boston University holds the license for WBUR. And I think I should also note, I actually have a sophomore at Boston University, so this is a subject that's close to my heart, too. Dr. Nevins, I'll turn to you for a second. College mental health program at McLean Hospital, have you pivoted in your focus since COVID, or has it been more of an intensification of issues you were focused on before? Do you understand my question?
Sure. And I would say the answer is no, we haven't. And yes, we have. At the same time, I think everybody has had to pivot, right? It's doesn't do it justice at this point to say these are unprecedented times because we've been saying that for so long, but we've absolutely had to shift and evolve according to student needs. Our programs are now happening virtually. We're reaching students we couldn't reach before because of geographical location. So our services have really expanded in that way. And yet at the same time, our focus has remained exactly the same, which is really a strengths-based identity-informed approach to supporting student well-being and helping them navigate the challenges and barriers that exist as a college student outside of COVID, but of course now taking into consideration that cumulative effect. And we have to be bringing that into the conversation and not in some ways going on as if business is normal, because we know it isn't for everyone.
You know, we just had a parent caller a minute ago. We've got a student caller, too. I'd like to get that voice here. 1-800-423-8255. Carter is on the line in Newton. Carter, go ahead.
Hey, thank you so much. So I recently graduated from college this past summer. I graduated from the University of Michigan. And I just wanted to say, so you started off the program by saying that some colleges had decided to move their exams online. And when I hear that, I fear, that like next semester there'll be a return to remote learning at other schools, just because, the way that these things spread, and especially Omicron being more transmissible, if they're already moving finals online, it's likely that there's going to be some more remote learning. And I just wanted to say that, from the perspective of somebody who did the last half of his college education during, online during COVID, I really think this is just like a misguided measure that just goes way too far and just has its priorities totally out of whack. I mean, at this point, we have three great vaccines. We have boosters. They're free. We have Pfizer came out with the COVID pill that, cuts hospitalization significantly. And for young people, the risks have always been lower. I don't want to say they're, they aren't there, because they are, and they're especially, for immunocompromised people. But
lower.
The risks are just so low, and I just think, like, the trade-offs of moving school online are just so huge, and it's a shell of what college is. And
thanks, Carter.
I really think the colleges need to take another approach.
Thanks, Carter. So, Dr. Landa, you are now Executive Director of Student Wellbeing. We've heard two voices now, Fareen with that longer conversation. Carter, they're clearly feeling strongly. He's just graduated a few months ago from university. How do you think about the trade-offs? I mean, we are talking about body risk, spirit risk, and mental health risk.
It's a really important point. And I think, the student who just called in, or the recent graduate, and Fareen, as well as the caller from Georgia whose son experienced this, the toll that online learning has taken on students is incredible. At BU, we have had taken really extreme measures to keep our campus safe with testing and masking that some have questioned, why are we doing so much? But in order to have our residential experience, which we feel is imperative for the university experience, for students learning, for development, for socialization, for all of the things that Farron and the other callers have alluded to, we feel that doing what we're doing to protect our campus from COVID is worth it, so that they can have that in-person experience, because there's nothing that replaces that. Being on Zoom, being, you know, whether learning on Zoom or socializing on Zoom, does not take the place of normal organic interactions that happen on a college campus that really contribute to development of college students.
Dr. Nevins, what do young people in this age group need for their mental health well-being? What do they need from this experience? And what should family members be looking for right now?
Well, the list is certainly extensive. It's what they need, but it's also what they deserve. And I think that that first and foremost is so often just the validation of the difficulty of this experience. And we hear so many students that have maintained their expectations of, I need to do X, Y, and Z and maintain a job and get perfect grades and balance this crisis. And they haven't been flexible with themselves or had that self-compassion to say, okay, this is really hard. So if families can do that, and if providers can do that, and if colleges and universities can do that and really reflect back, we can't probably operate in the same way. And increased compassion and flexibility, policy changes, understanding the need for medical leave of absences, all of that. So providing that support and really making sure that we can mirror that back to students, that this is so, it's so valid to be struggling at this time. And the challenges are real, whether you're in person and dealing with those stressors or remote. So I think that support and validation. But of course, you know, the social interaction, extensions on tests, and understanding that they're safe in their environment, and acknowledgement of different sociocultural student identities, all of that, it's really an interconnected web of student needs in order for them to really thrive and feel safe in their college experience.
So, Dr. Landa, there is this dissonance. So much of young people's lives is already spent online. Many college and university programs, as we heard about Farine's already, her master's degree program is fully online. I mean, you can get a college degree entirely online. Why is it problematic if it keeps people's physical health safe to be remote? Why is it problematic? And with young people so online anyway?
I think the fact that they're so online is really what's an important part of this. We want to counter that with in-person normal experiences that, you know, living a life online is only part of what human interaction is. It's edited. It's not spontaneous as you know, talking with a friend in real person, in real life can be. The way we engage, the way we express ourselves is different with body language even, that you can't see when, you know, your head is just on a Zoom screen, for example, or even on social media. So the experiences that students have in their residences, for example, or in graduate programs when they're all in rooms together working collectively on a project, there's value in just the interpersonal experience. It's not even the content of what they're learning, but how we navigate relationships, how we navigate communication, all these things that you can be the best scientist, but if you don't have those skills that are so core to human interaction, you might not be as successful. So that's what we value so much about this in-person component of a residential campus or the learning experience.
And Dr. Nevins, the changes that you're talking about, you know, are changes in attitudes and pressure and potentially giving leave, those kinds of things. These are big changes. Are you optimistic that our big systems and institutions can and will and are making those kinds of changes?
I am optimistic. It would be a really hard job if I wasn't, but I really am. I mean, part of the work we do in the college mental health program is consulting and collaborating with colleges and universities, and they are asking these questions and revisiting policies and wanting to find out ways to better support student well-being, both reactively through the provision of services, but also proactively. How can they foster a healthy culture that really encourages student well-being? So I am optimistic, and schools have different resources, different circumstances, but I don't think we can go back to the way things were. And I don't think anyone's looking to. I think everyone really is recognizing the need to shift the balance in sort of quality of life and well-being, the student experience. So I'm really looking forward to seeing schools do that throughout the next few years.
And Dr. Landa, it really just in a couple of sentences, what's the biggest shift you hope to be responsible for in your new role?
You know, I think so much focus has been put on mental health over the past several years, which is incredible. We've reduced stigma and really increased students' willingness to access support that they need. But we really want students to think broadly about the different ways that they can support their well-being. Mental health is an incredible part of it, but community is also incredibly valuable. Physical health is important, just as much as the environment that they live in. So really having students think broadly, again, about those different dimensions that contribute to their well-being, not just as students, but once they leave the university.
All right. That's Dr. Carrie Landa, who is stepping into a new role as Boston University's first Executive Director of Student Well-Being. Thank you. And Dr. Caitlin Nevins, Director of Psychological Services in the College Mental Health Program at McLean Hospital. Thanks to you as well.